Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Maybe some of you noticed I wasn't here last week. Maybe this is my mea culpa. My son Eric was helping out an organization called Good Bookie. And I, like you, probably were wondering, what in the world is Good Bookie? It kind of sounds like a gambling thing. Well, apparently it was. But it was for a good cause. That's what we all say, isn't it? They select, apparently, this app that you can do on the phone. They select a certain nonprofit organization to support, and it happened to be the American Cancer Society. So, he threw in $5 and did his picks or whatever it was they were picking on, and he won a trip to Las Vegas, two flights, two nights at the Park MGM, and two collegiate basketball games, and which we skipped out on one and went to hear Tommy Emmanuel, who's a famous guitar player. You ever heard of Tommy before? I know a few of you have. That's where I was last week. And at first, I was a little bit guilty, and I thought, I can't leave. And Marty was saying, I'm signed up to do the kids' program next week. There's no way I'm going to go. And she said, I'd feel too guilty. And I said, well, I don't. And so Travis went with me, and we just had a great trip. Because it was related to the American Cancer Society, I thought, this is a good thing. Having gone through this process, I probably have a story I can share with them. And when they heard that what I had been through, they were real excited and offered maybe a chance to speak at one of their functions and maybe to write in their online magazine. And so I was pretty excited about it. It didn't quite work out like I thought it was because the event itself was pretty much a low-key thing, and a couple of coaches got up and spoke. It was called Coaches versus Cancer. And so the coaches got to speak, and another family who had been prearranged to speak also did. And I was sort of waiting for someone to ask me, but they never asked. So I'm going to reserve my comments for an online article that I'm going to send them with a few pictures that we had. So that's my mea culpa for not being here last Sunday. That's not what I wanted to talk about today. The sermon title is, Do You See What Mary and Elizabeth See? Some people are very surprised to learn that the very pre-birth of the Christian church begins with the story of two women, especially those who believed that Christianity is just a paternalistic religion like so many others. Thousands of years before the term feminism entered our vocabulary, Luke opens his gospel account with the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, two cousins who as models of the Christian faith, are positioned right at the beginning of the human story of Jesus. It is Mary and Elizabeth who recognized, first of all, that the promises of God were indeed from God, and second, that recognizes that these promises would be fulfilled. So as we look at that account today, we ask ourselves that question. Do we see what Mary and Elizabeth see? Mary had just received a momentous announcement. The angel Gabriel had appeared to her in person and declared that she would conceive and give birth to a son. And this will happen despite the fact that she is a virgin. Her first act upon receiving this news is to believe it, to trust that it will happen. And her next move was to go to the hill country of Judea, to a village where her cousin Elizabeth lives. Some 6 months earlier to that event, Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, as you know from the scriptures, had also received some miraculous, barely believable news. Elizabeth, a woman well past her childbearing years, would conceive and bear a son also. And as was prophesied, Elizabeth is pregnant with a son who would become the greatest of the prophets of Israel. And we know him as John the Baptist. We are told that Mary went with haste. She seems driven to visit her kinsman. Mary knows of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She knows how old Elizabeth is. So she knows this pregnancy is, can we use this word in our enlightened society today, miraculous? But what better place to go to share the incredible news she herself has just received? This is a story of recognition. Mary's recognition of God's voice coming to her from the angel Gabriel, who approached her from out of nowhere and announced to her that by the Spirit she would conceive a child. There is a recognition that drives Mary to seek out the companionship of her cousin Elizabeth. It's the first thing she does after receiving the message from Gabriel. And then there's Elizabeth's recognition of Mary, whom she sees not as just her pregnant cousin, with whom she shares the joys and trials of pregnancy, but that Mary is the God-bearer. As a bonus recognition, there is a recognition in utero. The unborn child that will grow to become John the Baptist leaps with joy as soon as Jesus' mother walks through the door, in immediate recognition of the fruit of Mary's womb. Do you see what Mary and Elizabeth see? We need to recognize ourselves that what we are seeing here is a turning point in human history. A turning point that even now makes demands upon those of us who truly see it for what it is. Do we recognize that these two women are standing at the threshold of an event that will change the world forever? Do we recognize that the effects of this event can still be felt today? Do we recognize that this event continues right up to this point in history as the body of Jesus Christ, still alive, moves boldly and powerfully into our modern age? How did these women come to see with such clarity and with such inspirational words? There is an immediate recognition in these verses that is a result of the fact that God first recognized these God-fearing women and placed into their hearts and into their wombs. We encounter Mary fresh off her recognition that the words of the angel Gabriel to her are indeed the words of God, and that they will be fulfilled. Mary's immediate reaction is to rush to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Recognition between the two women happens as soon as Mary walks through Elizabeth's door and greets her. But there is a recognition that takes place even sooner than that one. The children in the wombs also recognize one another immediately, and the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps with joy. Where does this recognition come from? How is it possible? How do babes still in their mother's wombs recognize one another at such a preconscious level? The answer to that question comes as we see Elizabeth being drawn to a level of recognition that is higher than what we usually see. How so? It is the Holy Spirit who inspires her recognition of Mary as uniquely blessed among women and inspires her recognition of the fruit of Mary's womb as also being especially blessed. So filled with the Holy Spirit. She recognizes Mary not only as her cousin, not only as a woman sharing in the joy of pregnancy, but as the mother of my Lord. What powerful recognition. And she recognizes the child yet in Mary's womb as Lord. She recognizes Mary as blessed in that she believed that the words spoken by God would be fulfilled. And there is even more recognition surrounding the women. Recognition often happens in community. Birth, especially, is a community event. We don't like to think so always, but it is. We see that here as clearly as we do in any birth. Mary is not alone. Joseph hovers at the edges of the narrative. The Gospels assert that he was not physically the father of Mary's child, and yet the birth and what followed would have taken an even more difficult and more ominous turn if he had not offered his unconditional support throughout the pregnancy and birth of the child. Through the incarnation, God placed his very being in Joseph's hands just as much as he did in Mary's. There is something at work here that transcends biological ties. This is the beginning of the community of and in the Holy Spirit. Up to this point, Joseph had no physical tie to Mary or Jesus. And yet, he was a part of God's plan to unite them into a singular and holy family through the work of the Holy Spirit. Wow, remember that. This is the same Spirit that works through holy baptism to unite us to Himself and into the community of faith. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit moving through and in history at a turning point in history leads these women ahead of all of us through the threshold of that door into a new age, into our age. What we see in these passages is a God, the one God, the only God, that is, was, and ever will be present in the world, intimately involved in moving human history. This is the God who takes notice of a peasant girl in the backwoods region of the empire living a quiet and humble life of faith and chooses to work his divine, life-saving, world-changing will through her intimately. A God who will enter the world by way of her womb and place the divine self into her hands as a helpless infant, utterly dependent upon her. But this work does not take place in isolation. Mary immediately seeks out the companionship of her cousin, who is bearing the child that will become the prophet, who will go ahead of the king announcing his coming. And it doesn't end with Joseph's adoption into this holy family. He is just the beginning of a family that includes people of all walks of life, of every tribe and every nation. A family that includes you and me. There is a Spirit present who embraces both the town of Nazareth and the far-off little Judean town in the hill country. A Spirit who draws together the spirits of Jesus and John the Baptist in their mother's wombs so that there's an immediate recognition between them. And this Spirit also embraces us as we receive the promises God offered in these two women, promises that are still in the process of being fulfilled. The Spirit creates community that embraces all people, even those outcast, even those whom the world considers of no account. Mary bears witness to this all-inclusive community when she delivers this awe-inspiring prophecy we know as the Magnificat, which deserves reading again. Listen carefully. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And it all began with two women, Mary and Elizabeth, who after 2,000 years are still our models of recognition prompted by faith, born out of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is still at work today. God is calling us today to open ourselves to receive His promises, and we are called to live out our lives of faith that those promises will be filled in God's time. We are called, even now, to await the completion what began in Elizabeth and Mary. Do you see what Mary and Elizabeth see? Do you recognize God is speaking to us today through His Word and Spirit, broadcasting His great promise to be with us to the end of the age, to never leave us nor forsake us, to take all the guilt and condemnation due to our sins upon His body on the cross, to live in us and through us daily by His Holy Spirit, to raise us up to life on the last day of the resurrection, and finally, to open the gates of everlasting life where we will enter the magnificent mansions specifically prepared for each one of us. Dear friends, this is not a sermon to be heard and forgotten. This is a plea from God Himself to recognize His voice, and like Mary and Elizabeth, to believe and trust in those words. But let me add just one quick note of application. This recognition of God's voice is also a call to action. It is a call to seek out the community of the Holy Spirit, and to invite those outside our immediate kinship into the family of God. Through Joseph's inclusion into the family of God, we see the Spirit of God embracing and calling into community all of humanity. All human life, from the poorest to the most humble of the to the mightiest, to the exalted, come under the care of God and need to receive the embrace of the entire community of the Holy Spirit. In my humble opinion, this has always been our church's greatest characteristic. And I pray that it always will be. Do you see what Mary and Elizabeth see? In this final Sunday, before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, may God give us personal faith to recognize and receive by faith God's promises, just as He did with Mary and Elizabeth. But let us also acknowledge the Spirit's God-given community and actively pursue its expansion. This is truly how we follow the example of Mary and Elizabeth, to the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.